You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. This is another special day, and it would be even special even if it wasn't Father's Day, because the Lord has made it. Our scripture reading will be in Ephesians chapter 6, the last two verses, 23 and 24. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your word, because we do ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here on a beautiful Father's Day. Let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father, we pause now to glorify you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to do that because you provided a way. Love lifted us up in Christ Jesus, Lord. We thank you as we think today the love of a father on Father's Day, as we think about what you've provided us, that we might have eternal fellowship with you, that you conquered sin and death, that we might have this relationship that's so special. And we pray now the lesson to follow that would glorify you. If there be any error, please strike it out. But we thank you for the freedom to come together and assemble and to praise your name. For it's in Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen. Well, I think it was midweek when Derek called and said, "Oh, by the way, could you teach Sunday?" But, you know, I knew it was coming. You know, I probably should have just volunteered, but I wanted to make him suffer a little bit. But, yeah, he wanted to make me suffer. So I was glad to do the lesson today because I am a father. So I am somewhat qualified to get up and speak about this topic on Father's Day. And I thought about the lesson, and I thought about the love of a father. You know, and it was a year and a half ago that I lost my father. And so that added yet to another level of understanding that I have for being a father. But I want to start in John chapter 3. Let's go to verse 35. John 3:35. A father really loves his children. And in my case, I have two boys, so a father really loves his son. I know this because when Carter was born, I had a wave of emotion over me that to this day I will remember and always will remember. And when Clayton was born, it was different. You know, I'd done it before, you know, so I knew what to expect. But yet, now as I hold my little two-year-old and rock him to sleep, I have another wave of emotion. You know, like this is something that you forget, because when they're eight, you know, you forget how prescient they are at two. So that's only when you're putting them to bed, right? Yeah, exactly. In John 3:35, it says, "The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand." You know, I think right now that I would do anything for my children. I can relate to this scripture. And it's just tremendous the love that a father has for a son. But most of all, what our Heavenly Father has for us. And it's amazing how he established in the family relationship a way that we might be able to get to know God, our Heavenly Father, better through our earthly father's relationship. In verse 36 here in John 3, it says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life." See, this simple sentence is nothing but. This simple sentence talks about the love that the Father had for us, that he gave his only begotten Son. I can't hardly fathom that kind of depth of love. I try and learn about it each and every day as we grow older. You know, as this weekend was so busy, I mean, so many things are going on. One thing we had was our 20th high school reunion. And you go back and, you know, you see people and some look the same, some look totally different. You know, they give out awards for that. But most people who Kathy and I compared notes that, you know, had two or three children, you know. We all were just a little bit wiser than we were 20 years ago because of what the family relationship did and providing us that perspective of what a parent has a love for a child. But most importantly, it's how we learn more about God through this relationship. You know, he that believes not on the Son shall not see that life, and that really pains the Father, the Heavenly Father. Because we learn in Matthew that we've heard before people say, well, if God's a God of love, why did he create Satan? Or, you know, if God's a God of love, why did he create hell? Well, he didn't create those things for us. We find that God created Lucifer, who through his own pride became Satan. We know because of that, that the underworld was created for the devil and his angels. We know that from Matthew. It's man that chooses to go there by not accepting the love that the Father has and has given us, the Son, Christ Jesus. How terrible the wrath of God would be that abides on that person. Well, the Son takes direction from a Father. Let's go to Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. The Son takes direction from the Father. Sometimes it's later. Sometimes it's earlier. Sometimes it's not in a very happy way. But a wise son does take direction from the Father. Here we see in Matthew 26, 36, Christ Jesus. And he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he wants to pray to his Father. So in verse 36, then came Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Please tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Son takes direction from the Father. Well, he came back to his disciples. They had fallen asleep. And he says, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. Enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time, and he prayed. And he says, O my Father, if this cup will not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them, and they went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Well, then came he to his disciples, and he said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. I can't even fathom the depth of this. And we try to, you know, we try to understand that here, this was the God-man, Christ Jesus. He had the ability to immediately rise above all this and just wipe them all out. But yet he chose love. And it was the love of the Father, and he obeyed that. Well, the Son knew the Father was there for him. If you look in verse 51 of this chapter. See, the Son knew the Father was there for him. There's something special about that. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Well, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into this place, for all that they take the sword shall perish with the sword. But here in verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? See, the Son knew the Father was there for him. That he could pray and get, you know, 12 legions of angels. Well, you know, the support of a father is very strong. You know, just one angel, we know it from 2 Kings 19:35. You don't need to go there, I'll just read it to you. That one angel, just one, went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. I think that's 185,000 people. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's just one angel. Yet the Son knew that the Father would provide him thousands of those angels. He could have any moment taken that course. But the course he took was love. The love he has for you and me, as a father has for a child. The son knew the father loved him. Go to John chapter 17. He knew he was there for him. He knew his support was very strong. The son knew the father loved him. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, and that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give life eternal to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Because of love. The love a son has for a father. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before this cosmos was created, before Adam and Eve was put on this earth, before the fall, before the flood, before all of that, God the Father loved us. And he set up his son before the foundation of the world. Verse 24 of this chapter. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given to me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. I know you love me. I know you're there for me. I know the strength in the Father. I know I could ask for angels, but I didn't ask, because your will was the way of love, but the way of love as a father to a child. I've declared thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, you see, when God showed his love for us, when he made man, when he made Adam, he gave him a free will to choose between right and wrong in order to demonstrate his love for God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1:26. Now here we have God the Father. We're going back to the foundation of the world. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Go to chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. As Joe was talking about earlier, we saw the operation of that yesterday. And it's because the love that God has for us, that he set that up, that we might learn how to love him. I often wonder back in verse 17. Here God created man for fellowship, to have the love. Why put the restriction on verse 17? Why put it there? If it wasn't there, they couldn't have fallen. They'd still be in the Garden of Eden right now, having fellowship. Might be a little more crowded, but they'd be there. It would be innocence. God put the one restriction because that's what gave man the free will to choose the path before him. And the love that they had to give would be given freely, and not a robotic love, not a forced love, not a love of manipulation. A love because I truly want to do what pleases the Father. And that restriction, therefore, was put there. God took the risk. Well, there is no risk with God, right? He knows the end from the beginning. But God created a being, man, us, you and me, that He wanted to have a personal, loving, fatherly relationship with. To this day, He does. And He put man in a garden, and He gave everything he needed with one restriction. And He wanted fellowship. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they botched it. Now, I've never botched anything. You know, we give instructions to our children all the time. They follow them first thing, all the time. Not so, is it? Botch things all the time. And they botched it. And this verse 8 to me is so, so touching. Because the love I have for my children, I can't even hardly imagine the love that God had for Adam and Eve. And what does He want to do? He wants to fellowship with them and have that love and the joy that comes out of that. And here in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What a picture. Well, they heard Him. They didn't see Him because they were hiding, because they botched it. They'd eaten of the tree. And oh, the consequences have been so severe. That sin and death entered the world at that moment. And the loss that God had because He could no longer fellowship with man, because now sin was present and God cannot behold sin. But yet He had prepared a way that He could recover and have that eternal fellowship with us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Before that event, before God was walking in the cool of day in the Garden of Eden, before He even put Adam on the face of this earth, they got together and they said, we're going to have to provide a way that we can redeem man because we want the love as a parent would want for their children, to provide them things, you know, far above anything ever they've ever had. But they want the fellowship there. So here in verse 3 it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of this world, before there was that fall in the Garden of Eden, before there was Adam, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The love of a father. Ephesians 2, 4. See, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I wonder if it's a cool garden, just like He used to walk in with Adam. We're seated there now, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of this grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. He wants us to walk and have that fellowship, that the love that a father and a child has. Ephesians 3:9. Actually, go to verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the eternal purpose that He has is this fellowship, this love that we have, that He has for us, that He wants us to have for Him. For an eternity, we can walk in that garden in that same type setting that Adam had. Far above all. Verse 17 there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is this breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. See that, you know, we don't understand that depth and breadth and length and height. We don't understand it. Being a father, you start to understand it. At least I have. I just, as a glimpse, I'm starting to understand this love that Christ has for us, that God has for us and has provided us a way here. The love of the Father. God the Father created us for the joy and pleasure He gets from having this fatherly loving relationship. He provided us the means that we might eliminate the sin that separates from Him. And He gave us an earthly blessing, this family relationship, that we might get that glimpse a little bit more of how He loves us. Revelation 4:11, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it to you. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. As a father, you get such joy. I mean, even today, you know, I hadn't seen my children all weekend, you know, and they walk in, and just the running up and the hugging. I mean, just the joy that's part of that. And I think it's the same joy the Father has when you sit down, and you put your hands like this, and you say, Dear Father, you know, I need help. That relationship, that fellowship you have through prayer. Well, when Adam committed that transgression, when sin entered the world and therefore death by sin, and sin and death is separation from God, you can't have that fellowship anymore. The only way to restore our relationship with God was the elimination of our sins. So see, God, before the foundation of the world, took care of that, planned it out. Psalms 51:5 says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? You see the consequences of that. The consequences of sin permeate from conception on. Born in sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that in Romans 3:23. Romans 5:12, Wherefore as one man sin entered the world, and therefore death by sin. And so death passes upon all men, for all have sinned. But we know in Hebrews 9:22 it says, Almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So God took care of that before the foundation of the world, and He set up a way. And let's go to John chapter 3. We know John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world through Him might be saved, that He might have that fellowship. He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. God so loved the world. He wants to have a relationship with you as a heavenly father to a child, and he's provided the way. For those of us who have already accepted Christ as our Savior, maybe many years ago, as we're growing, spiritually growing up, as we were reborn, and I may chronologically be 38 years old, but spiritually, how old am I? Do I have the fellowship with the Father on a daily basis? Am I having the prayer life and raising my children that they might know God better? I hope so. Because as I get the glimpse of how God loves me, I want him to know that I love him. And whatever responsibilities he's given me as an earthly father, I need to fulfill those so that my son can learn the love that the heavenly Father has for him. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends." See, God demonstrated that through the cross, that his love for us, he died for us. We have peace, Romans 5:1 says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Verse 8 in that Romans chapter says, "But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans is such a fantastic book of reassurance here. In Romans 8 it says, 37, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How often do we forget that someone loves us that much? Do I tell my sons enough that I love them? Do they know that I'm there for them? I'm sure I don't do it enough, you know. But it's the same way that for whatever challenge is thrown my way, whatever bump in the road, how easy it is to forget that someone loves me this much, who died for me, and that will take care of every need that I have. See, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What you place your love in, if they're worldly things and possessions, and you're missing the point. They have nothing to do with the love of the Father. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of this world." We, as each individuals in the body of Christ, we fight this because we're in the flesh. We have the lust of the eyes. We have the pride of life. And that's not this love that we need to have with the Father. "Well, as the world passes away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever in that loving relationship that a father has with a child." 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're seated with him right now. We're in the heavenlies, far above all, with that fellowship relationship. But yet here in the flesh, we still have the pride of life that clouds our thinking. It keeps us from having the day-to-day fellowship and the blessings and the love that we need to have with God the Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. If he was manifest, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God, that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He took whatever obstacles were in the way and made just a complete open door policy that at any time you can come in and talk to me about anything. He loves us so much. Well, we saw yesterday a marriage, and it's through the family relationship that husbands marry wives and have children and become fathers. He ordained that back in the Garden of Eden so that we might just get a glimpse of the love that he has for us. The headship that God created in the family is to impart that love to a child, that as you grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that you might then realize that God the Father loves you as so much. It's when children are in rebellion, and as we as children are often in rebellion, the sadness that is part of that process. You know, as we raise our two boys, one is pretty compliant and one is pretty rebellious. So we're going to have a lot more lessons going forward. But I know it's my job as a father to teach them that no matter what happens, that first of all, you're going to be in trouble. Okay. And then there's instruction. But, you know, it's in Proverbs. Proverbs is so full of the wisdom that a father is to give to a child. Just some of the passages here that I saw. In Proverbs 3:11, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." You know, happy is a man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Proverbs 4:1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding." Proverbs 10:1, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." See, a foolish son is his mother's fault. Here. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but the scorner hears not rebuke. We know that is not true. It is such a blessing on Father's Day to stop and to realize that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you so very much. And on this Father's Day, I thought, you know, an appropriate Father's Day card from our Heavenly Father was the scripture reading that we read this morning. I'm going to close with that. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And Ephesians 6, 23 and 24 says, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So if they were to send us a Father's Day card, that's how they would sign it. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we can't even begin to realize the depth and breadth and the height and the width and the length and all the things that you do for us and the love that you have for us, but we do get a glimpse of it, Lord. As we celebrate this holiday, Father's Day, we pray that those of us who are fathers would fulfill the role that you've given us, that we might instruct our children to know you better, to give them just a glimpse of understanding of the relationship that they need to have with their Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for that calling, the importance of the family unit, and how what a blessing that is. And we just thank you for your Son Christ, who is our mediator, who removes the sin that we might have that loving fellowship eternally with you. But as we're here on the earth, Lord, still in our flesh, as we wrestle with the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, we pray that we would do our reasonable service and put our old man to death and strengthen our new man within us, that we might glorify the Father that's in heaven and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that others might know how they can remove the sin as far as the east is from the west and have that eternal relationship with you. We just again thank you for all that you continue to do, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.